Morning. Last week was indeed a very different service. The presence of God was here. I don't mean that the presence of God was not with us in other services, but last week was different. You agree with me? Right? I mean, the message given by our pastor Daniel was powerful. We really feel the Lord had really prepared him for the word, the season for us, for this time. And beside that, you know, the staff, they were working hard and to ensure that everything went well. And indeed, it was a very successful event last week. And most importantly, I could sense your passion. I could sense your love for Jesus. I could sense that when you enter the church, this is more than just about attending another event. You are here for our Lord Jesus Christ. You are here, you want to worship Him and you want to honor Him. And I believe that, you know, as we come together as one body, the Lord honor our worship. The Lord honor our presence. And we, you know, I'm sure that in our hearts, that we are praying this in our hearts, that, you know, Lord, whatever you're doing in our church, let, you know, whatever we experienced last week, let that not be the last time, but continue, Lord, you know, make this place your home. Make this place the place where people can experience you. Make this place a place where people, as they come into your presence, they can experience breakthrough in their lives. Amen? Amen? You know, and so I have a question, right? You know, Lord, you have given us so much last week. And you have brought us, you know, experienced something so different last week. What is next, you know? And how is it going to happen? We have heard so many messages about, you know, God is doing great things in our church. Oh God, how are you going to do it? How is it going to happen? And I sense the Lord saying to my heart, don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all this shall be added unto you. So don't worry. God is doing great things in our church, in your lives and in my lives. But don't worry. He's doing something. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, 1 week ago, a mom came to me and shared with me about her stress, about her worries, about her son has not been sleeping well for the last few weeks. So she told me, you know, Pastor, almost for the last few weeks, almost every night at 2 a.m., my son will walk into my room and stand beside me and then wake me up and then say to me, Mommy, I cannot sleep. And so she told her, he told his mom, I could not sleep because of exams. I could not sleep because this year is sec 4. I'm worried about my O levels. So the mother is worried and the son is also worried. The mother worried about the son's health, but the son worried about his exam. And interestingly, last night after sharing with the young people, youth, I met a taxi driver, and on my way to meet my wife. So in our conversation, usually I was trying to take some time to talk to him and find any opportunity to share Christ with him. So interestingly, in our conversation, he started to complain a little bit. And one of the things that he shared with me is about, you know, life is tough. I'm very worried about my retirement. Look at the living cost today. You know, how am I going to afford to be able to retire at a young age, or not say young age, like, you know, early age. So he was worried about his retirement and the cost of living in Singapore. And I also met many Christians, parents, not just in this church, even in my previous church. Many parents are worried about their children, right? We worry about our children's future, and we also worry about their walk with God. And there's so many things, you know, that we are worried about. What is going to happen to our children in future? And so this morning, what are your worries today? As you come to church, what are your fears? What are your worries? You know, Jesus told his disciple, I have told you all these things so that you may have peace in me. In this world, you will have troubles. But take heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, take heart. or be of courage. I have overcome the world. So Jesus told the disciple, have peace in him, because he has a bad news and a good news for them. The bad news is, he told the disciple, you will have troubles. Right? It's true to every one of us. So don't worry too much. There will always be troubles. But the good news, turn to your neighbor now and say good news, alright? Jesus said to the disciple, whatever any problems that you're going through in life today, he has gone through it and overcome them. And so today, have faith in him. And if you have a Bible, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verses 5 to 9. If not, you can look at the screen, or on my left and on my right hand side. Paul chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. Paul said, do not anxious about anything. Not one thing, not two things. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he continued to say, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace of God will be with you. So Paul said to us that the kind of peace God is offering to you and me today is a peace that surpasses all human understanding. It is supernatural. It empowers you. Even when you have to walk through in the valley of darkness, fear and death, the peace, his peace will empower you. You will not be afraid or fearful because the peace of the Lord is with you. You can even lay down and sleep at peace. One day, my grandma called my dad. You know, those days, I do not know why, you know, they have nicknames, you know. Nickname, right? So, my father's nickname was Hang Zi. You know what is Hang Zi, right? Sweet potato. So my grandmother will call my father Hang Zi, Hang Zi. Now, I'm the son of my father. So guess what is my nickname? Hang Zi Kia. Anyway, I told him, no, I'm not Hang Zi Kia. I'm a son of God, right? Yeah. So, one day, my grandma called my dad, Hang Zi, Hang Zi. What about Kale Kong? I want to tell you, Jesus is real. You must believe in him. As you know, my dad is not a believer yet. So she told my dad, you must believe in Jesus. And if you see what I saw, you will believe. So what happened was, my grandma was actually suffering from stage 4 cancer. But just before she was caught home with the Lord, she had a dream. She saw Jesus in heaven. I don't know how she could recognize that is Jesus, but she said to me with the conviction in her heart, I saw Jesus. You know, and before that dream, she was very worried about her death. She's going to die. She was always very worried about that. What's next after that? But after she gave her life to Jesus and met Jesus in her dream, she told me, she no longer fear death anymore. And she found peace in Jesus. God just transformed her. A woman before that was full of worries. Now she found that peace in Jesus Christ. It's supernatural. I don't know how it happens. But when she met Jesus, it happened. You know, in Psalms 3, verses 5 to 6, King David say, I lay down and slept. I walk, for the Lord sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. King David say that he was able to sleep, or he decided to sleep, even though he was surrounded by people who wanted to kill him. He ought to live in fear. He ought to be worried about what was going on. But he said that, I choose to sleep and I'm able to sleep because I found my peace in the Lord. I know that my Lord is with me. When you have the peace of God, you will have faith, strength, and the power to walk through the valley of darkness and fear. But Jesus also said, the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So we have a bad news, we have a good news. Now Jesus gives us the great news. The great news is, it's a gift for everyone. It's for you and for me. In regards of your social background, in regards of race, and most importantly, it cannot be bought by money, by your success, by achievement. You cannot earn for it. It's a gift God has prepared for you. It is a gift for you because of His love for you. He wants you to have that peace in your heart. That's why God said to you, don't be afraid. Do not worry. Have His peace. And so this morning I want to share with you about how to overcome your fear and receive this gift of peace. Paul said, practice these things. Practice this thing, and the God of peace will be with you. So what are these things we need to practice? And there are four things we need to practice this morning to receive this gift. And the first thing I want to encourage you is what Paul said, be anxious for nothing. In other words, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Why? Because our Father in heaven does not want you to worry. Because our Father in heaven cares for you. Because our Father in heaven knows all your needs. If we truly believe God knows all our needs, then why am I worrying today? I'm sure there are many parents in our midst this morning. I just want to ask, is there any parents this morning, when your children ask you for example, your son or your daughter come to you and ask for, you know, daddy, mommy, I want a strawberry ice cream. Now, how many of you, as a parent, you go to your fridge, you open the fridge, you pluck out the red chilies, and then say, my son, this is for you. Now, we're not going to do that, right? Or how many of you, when you ask your parents for my favorite fruits, durian? You know, daddy, I want durian. How many of you will say that your parents will give you the cask of the durian? Or the rock? No, right? If imperfect parents like you and me, we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more our Father in heaven, who is perfect, who loves you, who cares for you, who knows all your needs, how much more our Father in heaven, who did not even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, take care of those who love Him, won't He also give us everything? He will. So don't worry, because God doesn't want you to get worried, because He knows all your needs. Don't worry, because worry alone cannot help the situation. There was a movie I watched some time ago, and to cut it short, basically it's about a father and a daughter. All right, they were in the car and they were attacked by the enemy. And so as the enemy getting closer, the daughter became very anxious and worried. And then she kept saying to her dad, what should we do? What should we do? Am I going to die? Are we going to die here? You know, and what's going to happen to us? But when she saw her dad kept looking at her, at his map and the handphone, she got upset with
her dad and scolded him. You know, daddy, you don't care about us. Daddy, you don't care about our, you know, about me, and you don't care about what's going on. And after the dad heard what the daughter say, the dad paused and she turned and looked at his daughter and then said to her, daughter, by worrying cannot stop the enemy from chasing after us. By worrying cannot change the situation. The most important thing to do now is to find a way out to save ourselves. So she said to her, he said to her, by worrying cannot change the situation any better at all. And this is so true to so many of us. Sometimes we thought that by worrying more and keep ourselves worrying can solve the problems we are going through. But the truth is, worry can never help in our situation. In fact, if we don't manage our worry properly, it will end up may affect our relationship with other people. In our anxiousness, we may affect our relationship with our loved one. It affects our work. It affects our health. And it affects even your performance at workplace. So worry, if you don't manage properly, it doesn't do any good to you. So why worry so much when it's not doing anything good to you? But some worries are good. We all know that, right? Some worries are good. I remember many years back when my girl, Jolene, my daughter, I think she was around 5 years old then. I remember we just came back from a holiday, and so my wife and I, we were busy unpacking the luggage. So, but we left our my daughter and my son play in my room. And so after the packing, I walked into my room just to check how are they doing. And then I saw my daughter cover her mouth this way, and her eyes was very big. And then I saw toys on my bed. I saw some toys, some cars, and some batteries were missing. So I got worried. So I quickly asked my wife, you know, could it be possible that my girl actually swallowed the battery? So we worried, we were very worried, right? And so we have to think of a solution. So immediately we say, okay, where's the safer ways to do? All right, stop worrying about that. Start to do something. So we sent her to hospital, to the KK hospital, went for x-ray, and after the x-ray come out, we look at the x-ray, and you know what? There was a battery in her stomach. I thank God that we found it in time. Imagine I was not in the room. Imagine I was not there. Imagine I don't care. Even after I see my daughter put her hand in this way, and I don't care, I don't worry about it. Imagine I don't do anything about it. One thing will happen to my daughter. And you know what? She'll become one of the Avenger team. Battery girl with energizer power. So some worries are good. But the most important thing is that for us, as a child of God, worry does not reflect our faith in God. Worry only shows that God is incapable of helping us. When we over-worry, we are not reflecting our faith. We are just reflecting our fear. When we worry too much, we are not really telling people that our God is real. Our God has the power to heal. Our God has our God knows your needs, and our God can provide all your needs. When we have too much worries, it doesn't really reflect our faith in God. In fact, when we are worried too much, it is because we have forgotten that our God is our provider. When we worry too much, it is because we have forgotten who our God is. When we worry too much, it is because we have forgotten our God is still in control. A young man with an accountant degree went for an interview. And so he went to this company, a very small company, and run by a very young boss. And so this young boss said to this young man, I need someone with an accounting degree, But mainly, I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. Then, of course, the young accountant said, excuse me, what kind of job is that? Then the boss said, you know, I worry about a lot of things, but I don't want to have worry about money. So your job will be to take all the money worries off my back. Oh, I see. So the young accountant have a glimpse. So he asked the boss, how much does the job pay? And then the boss say, I will start you at $80,000. $80,000, the young accountant said, how is it possible? Such a small company like this, are you sure you can afford the $80,000? And then the boss look at him and say, that is your first worry. What are your worries today? Turn to your neighbor. Stop worrying today. Louder, Ken. Stop worrying today. Yes! Stop worrying today, alright? Stop worrying today, but start to focus on God in prayer today. Paul said, do not be anxious in anything, but in everything goes to God in prayer. So stop dwelling on your worries, but start to turn to God in prayer. But why Paul wants us to pray before supplication? By the way, the word supplication basically means ask God or request or plead God earnestly. Because prayer is more than just a request. We all know that. Prayer is more than just a request. Prayer is about adoring who our God is. Prayer is about worshiping God. Prayer is about praising God. Prayer is about thanking God. And most importantly, the goal of prayer, I believe, is about entering into God's presence. The whole aim of our prayer is entering into God's presence. And to enter into God's presence, first, we need to create space. To create space, first, we need to push aside our worries. We need to push aside our fear. We need to push aside our anger. We need to push aside any thoughts that will affect our attention and our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to push them aside and let God be the center and let God take charge of our hearts and our mind. Let our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God, rule over our hearts and mind. And how do I do it? I'm sure maybe some of us, you have other ways of how you create space for your God. I mean, for our God, of course, not your God, right? For our Lord, right? I mean, for myself, all right, when I'm going through some troubles, I'm worried over something, or when I have fears, or all right, what I do is I will go for a walk at a park. I will just walk at a park and be alone on my own. Sometimes I just pray softly, not too loud. You know, park, there are other people. I don't want people to think that I'm crazy. Sometimes I just praise God. Sometimes at once I literally forgot, okay? I walk and I start singing very loudly. And then there was a stranger just beside me and look at me and stare at me. And then I have to smile at him and say, I'm okay. I'm not crazy, alright? I spend time with God alone by the park. You can do that. Sometimes I just read the Bible, read the Word of God. Just allow the Word of God to soak. Not to say to soak, but allow the Word of God to, you know, to help me to understand God's will and His mind. So sometimes I just spend time by reading the Word of God. Sometimes I just think about His goodness. I think about the good things He's done for me. I think about the good things that He did for my family. So I think about the good things and I start praising God. And so, this is, you know, so the whole idea is to create space in the midst of my worries or my fear, is to create that space so that I can sit face to face with God and allow God to take charge of my life. Why entering into His presence is essential to your victory. Because we must know the one who is fighting for us. I want to imagine an eight-year-old boy, right? Imagine an eight-year-old boy playing with a toy truck, and then he broke it, and so he started crying, and cried to the parents, and asked the parent, "Daddy, Mommy, do something about it, fix for me." And then the father came to the boy and say, "Boy, calm down, calm down. I will have a good news to tell you. A distant relative you have never met has just passed away. And she has left us $1 million. You can buy a lot of trucks." What do you think the child will react? Do you think the child, "Wow, $8 million. Of course no, right? The child will continue, the boy will continue to cry even louder. "Dad, you got to fix my truck." Why? I mean, for many of us, $1 million, tonight go and eat seafood, man, go and celebrate. But not for this boy. This is because he does not have enough understanding to realize his true condition and be consoled. I'm saying in the same way, when we lack the capacity to understand or forget all we have in Christ, we will end up like the boy, keep crying, keep worrying, and feeling defeated. Many times we lost a game, not because the enemy is too great or too powerful. Many times we lost a game because we forgot what God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." You know, do you know that Paul wrote this when he was suffering in prison? And yet, when he was in prison, when he was suffering, he can say, "I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me." And he was able to go through all the suffering, hardship, hunger, pain, and his worries because he had learned how to lean on God for strength and peace. He had learned how to find God in the midst of his suffering. He had learned how to be still in the presence of God and let God take charge of his situation. And so Paul urged us today, this morning, if you come to this today with worries, Paul is saying to you, stop worrying. Start praying. Because prayer is one way we are telling ourselves, I am going to rely on God's strength. So first Paul says, do not worry. Then he says, start praying. Now he says, ask God boldly. Ask God. And I want you to ask God boldly, with courage, but trust His wisdom and goodness. Jesus said to the disciple, "Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full." How do we ask? Ask anything from the desire of our hearts. Ask God for, if you are doing business, ask God for good business. Ask Him. Ask God for good health. Ask God for good result. If you are studying, ask God for good result. Ask God to bless your marriage. Ask God to bless our children. Help them to be the man and woman of God. Ask God. When someone is sick, we ask God to heal the person. Pastor Daniel asked God to help those who desire to have children 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. That was a very bold request. But we saw how God honored his prayer. Sometimes we need to learn from our children or from my children how they ask things from the parents. One day my son came to me and asked, "Dad, can you buy me a racket? A new racket." He loves badminton. I said, "Of course, sure. Which one do you want me to buy?" And then he showed the one that he wanted me to buy. And when I saw the price, I don't believe it. My jaw almost dropped. Another time, I asked our daughter, you know, girl, where do you like to go after your PSLE for holiday? To celebrate your holiday. Without hesitant, my daughter immediately said, I want to go Paris. Very high classy taste. You know, the point is that somehow my children, they believe all parents have money printer at home. Money is never a problem. But I like their courage. I like their boldness and I like their faith. At least they never say to us, what's the point of asking mommy, daddy? Anyway, you'll never answer us. I mean, that would be very sad, right? If my children come to me and say, I will never ask things from you. I'll feel very sad because every parent's heart who loves their children, they are committed to give their best to them. Isn't that true? And so we are not afraid for our children to ask. But of course, we must tell them, doesn't mean everything you ask, we'll give you, right? Huh? So when God asks us, and when God asks you today, my son and my daughter, what can I do for you? What do you like me to do for you? It does not please God when we don't believe He's able to answer our prayer. It doesn't please God when God asks you, what do you want? God, I don't think you will give. It doesn't please God at all. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to share with you a good news. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, I went to visit my father-in-law at Singapore General Hospital. I mean, he's diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, stomach cancer. And up to that point, my wife and I, Joycelyn, we were not very sure about his salvation. So I asked God boldly with my wife. I said, God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel. Now, why I need to ask that prayer? Because it's easy for me to share the gospel with friends, stranger, and probably someone younger. But to share with relatives is never easy. But I said, God, you give me courage. Give me opportunity. I want to share the gospel with him. And so we went to the hospital. And so while we were there, when I was about to share, my father-in-law was in pain. He was in great pain because they found out the stomach actually got a hole. And so at that point, I thought I might lose the opportunity to share. But I said, God, I believe that for a situation like that, you want to save him, you can change, you can do something for him. So I said, God, can you try to do something to his pain? Ease the pain so that I can share the gospel. And so I waited, and the pain went down. The pain went down. And so when I saw him, you know, he was more calm. I quickly took the opportunity, and I started to share the gospel with him. And so I asked God, what should I do? And then the Lord said, pray first. So I prayed. So I prayed over him, and then when I opened up my eyes, I saw him tearing. Then my wife and I, we look at each other, then we know the time is right. God has already touched his heart. So I shared the gospel with him, and he said yes to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he received the Lord as a Savior, and this next month, 3rd June, next week, he will get baptized. All right, and my brothers-in-law. I think God honors our prayer, especially prayer like this. God will honor your prayer. So when we ask God, let's ask God boldly. Let's ask God, what is the desire of your heart? Because God has committed in His Word. If an imperfect father like us, who love our children, know how to give good gifts, then how much more our Father in heaven who is perfect, who wants to grant the desire of your heart. So ask God in faith, ask God boldly. But someone might say, you know, Pastor, but I'm not like Pastor Daniel. I don't have that kind of faith. You know, I may not have that kind of courage. I cannot pray like Pastor Daniel. I want to encourage you, my friends. The truth is, God is never expecting you to pray like Pastor Daniel or any of the pastors. He just wants you to tell Him what is the desire of your heart. Tell Him sincerely. Tell Him and believe in Him. Because our prayer is never answered according to our performance, but according to His unmerited grace and His goodness. So when you ask, don't worry about your performance. But when God does not answer your prayer according to your desire, we learn to trust in His wisdom and goodness. I'm sure you still remember Pastor Darren. Let's move on to All Saints. Pastor Darren and I, we are good friends. And before we had our first posting, that means before he got posted here and was posted to St. Andrew, we had a conversation about our posting. So we were worried, where is Bishop going to post us to? So I remember, right, Pastor Darren then, he shared with me, you know, Joe, I don't mind Bishop post me to any church. Small church will be the best. I enjoy working in smaller churches, but not in big church, especially Coos. So my prayer to him was, you know, Darren, I don't mind Bishop post me to any school. Anglican High, St. Hilda's, I'm okay, but not St. Andrew Secondary School. And you know, God make a joke out of it. I went to St. Andrew School and he came to Coos. But God has a purpose. I just found out that there's a reason why God sent Pastor Darren to Coos. Do you know that his children, Gabriel and Bethany, they are doing very well in our youth ministry? And they so love our youth ministry, even after Pastor Darren got his new posting, they didn't want to go with him. They choose to stay in our Coos youth and continue to serve here. I mean, God knows their needs. And of course, for myself, you know, when I was at St. Andrew's School, every morning, or not every, once a week in the morning, I have to share a devotion to thousands of students and hundreds of teachers. I think God was preparing me that, you know, my sharing at St. Andrew was a preparation for me to come to Coos. Because I cannot imagine that I have an opportunity like this to share with hundreds of my brothers and sisters in Christ in Coos. I mean, I used to share with members probably like hundreds, 200s, but size of a Coos, I never thought I would. But God knew. So God in His mind, that He was already preparing me to come to Coos. But before that, He said, I must prepare myself. He must equip me. So that's why He sent me to St. Andrew. And so when God do not answer the prayer according to your desire, trust in His wisdom. Trust in His goodness. Last but not least, Paul said to us, finally, always give thanks. Think positively. Always praise God. It's one thing to train people. I mean, I was a coach before, right? It's one thing I train other people's kids, other students. But it's another thing I train my own kids. And like any other coach, we want our best for our players. And so for me, as a father and as a coach, my expectation for my son actually was even higher. And so there was a point during training, my sons trained really, really, really hard. But somehow I was not satisfied. I was still very upset about his training. I was still, you know, not happy with him, alright? Basically, his training. And I wonder why. I wonder why I got so upset. Then I asked God, I prayed, and then God spoke to me. The reason why I'm still got upset with my son is because I haven't trust him that he has put his best effort in his training. So I learned one lesson as well. When I learned to trust him that he has put in his best effort, I realized I I became more thankful. I appreciate him better. And I enjoy the training with him even more. And so likewise, it's hard to thank God and enjoy the peace with him when we don't believe God has given him his best. It's hard to thank God when we continue to doubt his goodness. It's hard to thank God when we keep questioning his love for us. And therefore, giving thanks in all circumstances is important. Not just in good time we give thanks to God, but in bad time, when we are going through difficulty, we also must learn to give thanks to God, because it's an act of trust. It's an act of trust because we are learning to believe, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave us strength. How do we give thanks to God in all circumstances? Keep thinking good things about God. Whatever is good, whatever is helpful, whatever is motivating, keep thinking about those things. Keep thinking about the good things that God has done in your life. But whatever is not good, whatever is taking the joy away from you, whatever is taking the peace away from you, throw them away. Don't think about those things. Paul said, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When we learn to give thanks to God in all circumstances, whether it's in good time or in bad time, we learn to praise God, we learn to give thanks to God. It keeps our faith and our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I just started my relationship with my wife. Then, of course, Jocelyn, right, she was my girlfriend. We just started our relationship. And just like any young man, when you go pato, one of the things you want to show your girlfriend is how mature you are. Isn't that true? So I want to show my wife or my girlfriend them that I'm very good at badminton. So I was dying to impress her with my badminton skill. So I brought her along to watch one of my competition. I was in the final. And of course, then I was already left the national team. In other words, I have stopped my training, so I wasn't as fit as before anymore. So I brought her to watch my game, and that game was a tough game. It was tough game, because my opponent was quite strong. So you know, badminton, there are three sets to go. If you win the first game, you lost the second set, you will play the deciding game. So it's called the deciding game, the third set. So I won the first game, I lost the second game, so I'm playing the deciding game. And it was so tough. It was so tiring. I almost wanted to give up. But when I saw my wife from afar, I saw her eyes was looking at me. I saw that love. And I didn't want to disappoint her. So I said to myself, dear, I'm going to fight for you. And then the second win come. I feel the energy empowered again to last my last game. And I played a very good game. I fought very hard. And I lost the game. But my point is this. That's the power of love. Paul said, think about God's love. Think about what Christ has done for you. Think about his promises. Listen to this. Paul said, in all these things, in the letter in Romans, in all these things, you are more than conqueror through him who loved you. Paul said, for he's sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we practice this thing, we stop our worries. turn our eyes to God in prayer. Ask God according to the desire of our hearts, but trust in His wisdom and goodness. And in all circumstances, we give thanks. In all circumstances, whether it's in good time or bad time, we thank God and we praise God. God's supernatural power, God's supernatural peace will be released in your situation and free you from all worries. So as come in a close, friends, the real challenge, the real fight does not begin in the world outside. The real fight begins in the world inside of us. Have we found our peace with Jesus? Have we found our relationship with Jesus? And when you found your peace and rest in Jesus, you will find the strength and the faith to overcome all your worries, your fear, your angers. You will find joy, love, and confidence and courage to face your life when you find your peace in Jesus. How do you find that peace? Jesus said, simply trust Him. Trust Him. Stop worrying. Trust Him. And you believe, if you and I believe that God is able to conquer our death, friends, there's nothing God cannot do for you and me today. And if there's one thing you and me need to worry about, it will be this. Keep loving God. Keep trusting Him. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep thanking Him. Keep praising Him. And keep thinking positively in our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, keep loving one another as how Christ has loved us. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Please stand with me as you come to a close. This peace is promised to every one of you, to you and to me. All who hear the truth today, believe in Him today, you will find the peace you need today. I want to encourage us to close our eyes at this moment. What are your worries today as you come before the presence of God? I want you to right now say to yourself, I'm going to stop worrying. Say to yourself, I'm going to stop worrying. It's about your health. It's about relationship. It's about finance. Stop worrying. Anyway, by worrying more will not change the situation. Stop worrying now. Say to yourself, I'm going to stop worrying now. And I'm going to turn my eyes to God. God who loves me. God who knows all my needs. I'm going to turn to Him right now. I'm going to push aside all my worries and fear. Let none of these to rule in my heart and mind. And I'm going to say to Jesus, Lord, You take charge of my life. Let Your peace rule in my heart. Let Your peace rule in my mind. Take control over my life right now. And then I want you to ask God, what is the desire of your heart? What do you want God to do for you today? Ask God by faith, according to the desire of your heart. Ask God right now. And after you ask God, tell God, I will trust in Your wisdom, I will trust in Your goodness. And last but not least, you say to God, in all circumstances, God, I will always praise You. I will always thank You. I will always remember what Christ has done for me. I will always remember Your love. I will always thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's keep our eyes on God.
God is able, He will never fail. He is Almighty God, greater than all we see, greater than all we ask. He has done great things. Lifted up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able.
What is that to hear? Today's message. Let's leave.
God is with us. God is on our side. He will make a way.
His ways are higher than our ways.
Far above all we know. Far above all we hope. He has done great things.
Lift
it up. He defeated the grave.
Trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.